We're going to look into God's Word. I want to pick up where a couple Sundays ago that we looked at. We had just finished Easter. Thank you. We just finished, celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Christ. And that has to mean something. That has to do something to you. We have become so complacent in life, and when we're in that area of life that God warned us about, of apathy, where people just don't care. Our children raise up and listen to all this stuff, and they look at, well, where's our future? Where's our hope? And they don't know what to hope in, because God tells us in His Word there's only one hope, and that is in the resurrection of Christ. If He has not been raised from the dead, then you and I are still in our trespasses of sins, and we are of all men the most to be pitied. But He did rise. God left this for us so that we would know. He's trying to protect us. He doesn't want you to perish. He's not going to say that you're going to have a great life, but He's going to show you how to get through life better. See, we don't think it really matters. We think we have all the time in the world. Well, for some that we know dearly, a church member of ours, their life shattered this week. They got a call Thursday morning that their son, 38 years old, had been shot in the head. And he was brain dead. And they've been dealing with that since that day, and he's donated his organs. Her Mother's Day will be a whole different day. They at 8 o'clock this morning, they went and they followed him to the operating room to have his organs harvested. Her Mother's Day will mean something different to her for the rest of her life. It was a senseless act that God often warns us about. Sin brings death. I know what I preach is boring to some. I know that some are here and they could care less. They don't want to be here. And God gives us that choice. We do not have to obey Him. We do not have to submit to Him. We do not have to submit to His authority. But you see, one thing that I challenge, and this is where religion comes in and says that coming to Jesus invites you. There's not an invitation. I have read these scriptures. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. And each time I challenge what I have been taught by man. And there's nowhere in there that it says that Jesus invites you. But what it does say is that the Holy Spirit convicts you. See, it's through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that we come to our senses and we know who we are and what we are before Almighty God and what lies ahead for us. He loved us so we would not perish. He didn't just love us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we just are in awe of who You are. Father, help us to understand and learn that You only honor Your Word. Father, You are only pleased with us because what lives within us, and that is Your Spirit. Father, help us to when we seek the Scriptures, it's an earnest desire to know who You are. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We become so complacent, so apathetic that we just think tomorrow's going to come up and another day's going to come up and another day's going to come up, and we don't expect our life to change, but it can change in a heartbeat. An eternity awaits us, Father, and You're trying to prepare us for that. But in our intelligence, in our ignorance, in our technology, we just simply turn away from the only thing that will lead us to You, and that is Your Word. Father God, be with us now as we look into it and teach us, allow us to understand, reveal to us For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. It begins and says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, today everything's in the cloud, right? I mean, is there anybody can explain to me the cloud or how you get anything out of the cloud? Do you know anything about this cloud? It's there. And all the information we have is there. Well, that's not what this means. Okay? It's talking about a cloud. There's a bunch of them. And it's talking about this cloud of witnesses. When Jesus arose, he showed himself to over 500 people. So here's a man that they saw nailed to a cross. They saw him scourged, beaten, and then crucified. They saw him put in a tomb, a stone rolled upon it, guards there, and then he shows himself. Not only he, but the first resurrection, there were those that had passed before that were raised from the dead that went out through all the cities. That's what it's talking about. We have a cloud of witnesses. This has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it's sad that as each generation is taught, it loses something because we don't live it, we just tell it. If this is just a story, then the story loses its interest. But remember, this is the Word of God, and it's alive. It's as alive today as it was the day that the Holy Spirit empowered the men to write the Scriptures. It's equally as powerful today. The reason it doesn't have the same effect is because we don't approach it in the proper mind. You see, a lot of people pick up Scripture to prove what they believe, or they get bits and pieces of it and make a doctrine out of it so they can live comfortably with their God, instead of this is a demand and a warning and a love letter all in one. You see, he wrote it so that we would not make the same mistakes as the early people did. He wrote it so that we would know that he's holy. And I told him in Sunday school to understand that God's holiness directs his love. His love is not directed, his love is directed by his holiness. Okay? So what that means is that he can't sit there and forgive somebody and keep forgiving somebody that doesn't acknowledge his holiness. God has to be shown they're holy. That he's holy. And he says that we're holy because he's holy. And we're holy only because the Spirit of God lives within us. And we have to acknowledge that and understand that. And that's what these witnesses are proclaiming, that this was God's Son. And he proclaimed it himself when he walked among the streets and said, I told you I was going to do this. I told you in 3 days I would rise. They didn't understand that. They couldn't comprehend it. But now they saw it. So as we teach our children, and yet if there's nothing other than the teaching and not the application, then they will never understand the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. You see, we think that our society is progressive, and I'm here to tell you that it's regressive. Technology makes it more difficult to believe in Christ. It makes man independent. When God says you'll never be independent. You were created to be a spiritual being, and yet apart from me, you're just dead. You think you're alive, you've convinced yourself alive, you've bought into the lie that you're okay. But when you receive the nature of your parents, what you've inherited, women, all you give, you're not having little angels, okay? These aren't little angels. They're corrupt. They have an evil nature. They're enemies of God. That's what you've given birth to. Oh, that sounds harsh. No, it's true. I'm just quoting what Scripture tells us what we are. And this is the only nature we can have. You can't have any other nature. You see, first comes the flesh and then comes the spirit. And the flesh is always contradictory to the Word of God. And that's what these witnesses are sharing, is that what we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. God didn't want you to work your life and sacrifice. He never required you to sacrifice anything. God said, I'll sacrifice it for you because I don't want you to perish. But then he says, because we have this, okay, because of this, well, what's the effect of it? What does God expect of us? I mean, people think being a missionary is going around and telling people about Jesus. Well, what exactly are you telling them? I mean, are you telling them what's true? Or are you just trying to sell Jesus? And some religious thing. And I mean, that's what we've done. We've incorporated him, have we not? Last Sunday was a great example of incorporated Jesus. There was no truth at all. None whatsoever. And yet that's what we're supporting. That's what we're upholding. That's what we're grabbing hold of today. It's not what these witnesses are telling us, and not what God wrote in his word, but what man is telling us. And it's a bunch of lies. But see, I'm the fool. I haven't been formally educated, I understood. But I've been highly trained. I've got the highest education you can get. For over 30 years, I was taught by God, not man. I don't know of anybody that can teach you more than the one who wrote this. And that's why he wrote, you need no man to teach you. You don't take what I say. You go in and you search and see what I'm telling you is true. See, we just want to believe anything that some preacher stands up here and blabbers his old mouth off and trying to build his own church. I don't build the church. God adds to the church, by the way. I'm to pastor you, and I'm to give you truth, even if it hurts or even if it doesn't sound good. That's my responsibility, because your soul matters. When it says that God is a jealous God, he's jealous for your soul. Because Satan wants to deceive you. Satan wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy your family. And sin feels good to us. And we can change it just enough that we can say, well, God now can coexist with sin. You've bought into a lie. So what is the effect of this cloud of witness? Listen to what it says. It says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. He didn't say with sin that entangles us. He said sin that easily entangles us. You see, church people, that's what I call them, church, these Christians, I mean, remember, God never called us Christians. Okay? That is not something that God called you. That's something that the Roman called people that were following Jesus. And at least those Christians were born again. And were the modern day Christian is just spiritual. And it's by man's teaching. Okay, that's what religion is man's attempt to please God. Relationship is God doing something for us that we can't do for ourselves. and providing that intimate relationship through his son. It's a tremendous difference, and I hope last week it stuck out. I hope that there's not one person sitting here that heard this last week. I hope every one of you had a problem with what went on last week. I'm responsible. I'm the pastor. The agreement we had, Sunday school was to about reaching and teaching. Church was only about worship and preaching. And he lied to me. And his agenda was to bring and sell Jesus Christ and sell his ministry like it was some type of a vacuum cleaner. It's wrong. It is wrong. He did not present God as holy. He texted me and said, "Do you wear a tie?" I said, "Yes, I do." He put on some blue jeans and a shirt and a coat. He did not present God as holy. And may God strike me dead any day I do not stand up here and present him as holy. But see, we put up with this. Education tells us that, wow, we're working for God and God's got to be pleased with us. We're sacrificing our life for God, and yet we don't understand that it's the other way around. See, we're supposed to lay aside all those things that are cumbersome to us, that are entangling us, whether that be your possessions or a person or whatever. On the way here, I guess at the Derby, I don't get into all this junk too much, but at the Derby, my daughter was telling me that there's a rapper there or somebody, and he had to be carried across so he wouldn't mess up his shoes. And I said, what a fool. First of all, the people that carried him, and the fool that he is, that he thinks he's better than everybody else, that he don't want to mess up his shoes, but it's okay for them to mess up their shoes. And yet you have millions of people following that rapper, worshiping him, thinking that he's just wow. And yet God Almighty sent his only begotten son that you would not have to suffer in hell for the rest of your life and for eternity in torment, separated from God. You know what the sad thing about hell is? That you can look up into heaven and see it. That's the greatest torment. You don't believe it? Read the scripture where the rich man and Lazarus died, and the rich man went to hell, and he looked up in there and saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and he cried, "Send somebody from the dead to tell my brothers they don't want to come to this place." They'll believe somebody that was raised from the dead if you send him back. And he said, "No, they won't. We've had the prophets. We've had the angels. And guess what? He did send somebody that was raised from the dead. And he wrote it here. And we still don't believe it. And we still allow people to go to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. It's your choice. Don't blame God for all the stuff that's going on in your life when you are so encumbered and tangled in sin. I told you about gentleman we went to church with, grew up with our son. He was a Marine and supposed to be a believer, supposed to be a child of God, but I think all he had was religion, because that's all that place taught was religion. And so he got all these kids to say a little prayer when they're this tall. We don't have a clue what they're doing. They've not been convicted. They've not read the word. They've not been given faith by God. They've not been able to receive the Holy Spirit. They just said a prayer. And then man says, "Hey, you say this prayer, you believe good enough. Guess what? Congratulations, you're in the family of God. You're going to hell." Well, anyway, he was out 2 or 3 in the morning, and he got shot and killed. God didn't take him. He was disobedient to the word of God, and he put himself out of the protection of Almighty God. And yet we want to blame God for those things in our life. And he said, sin is going to destroy you. Sin will destroy your friendship. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy everything in your life. It will destroy you. And we don't believe it. We just don't believe it. Somehow we'll overcome it. Well, sometimes you don't. and the consequences don't catch up with you in this world, they will in the next. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is not an invitation. This is encouragement. You see, there is a race that has been set before each and every one of us. How are you running the race? Will you allow religion to cripple you along? Or do you have a relationship that's growing you and helping you? You see, Robert, I have prayed for years in the situation I am at work for God to get me out of that situation. And for 30 years, he hasn't. He hasn't changed my workplace, but he's changed me. You see, what we want to do is pick up and run every time it gets a little tough, doesn't it? I wonder if every time it got difficult for me or God couldn't get along with somebody and I just, God, just put me in another place. Does that do you any good at all? Change me. God, change me. Allow me to go to work without complaining. Allow me to shine my light in spite of being disrespected or in spite of being treated harshly or in spite of, wow, where'd I get that from? Wow, I bet it came from here. See, we as children of God want all that the world has and all the world means and all the world technology and everything that works for the world, and we want to somehow have God do when anything that is God is going to be contrary to the world. And yet, we ignore it. That's what we just don't think it matters. We are so deceived by that lie that it doesn't matter. And we've seen nothing yet. You see, what scares me and what I pray almost every day is, Lord, please don't let me be one that is drawn away. It says that in the end times that it's going to be so convincing that even some of the elect will be drawn away. I don't want to be that one, do you? And don't have the Peter syndrome. Oh, it won't be me. I read my Bible every day. I'm in the Word every day. That's not how often you're in the Word. It's how much the Word gets in you. Huh? When you pick up the Scriptures, is it a worship time or is it a study time? See, religion tells you to study the Bible. Relationship tells you intimate time with God, a teaching moment. It's amazing if you start comparing religion to relationship and what it tells you. Things get tough. Religion says, hey, keep a strong faith, keep an upper lip, keep the chin. Relationship says, I got this for you. I'll give you faith to endure. I'll give you strength. It's amazing how opposite they are, isn't it? But we have to run with endurance. There are times in the morning quiet time, I don't know what to say. But see, I've learned over the years that when I read it in Scripture, I don't have to. But the Holy Spirit searches my heart and takes my petitions to God for me. Isn't that amazing? How'd I know that? Am I smart? No, remember, I'm uneducated. I haven't been formally trained. But see, I read it in here. And it says that there are times when you don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. I don't have to do this on my own. But I do have to endure. I do have to keep going. Whether I understand it or don't understand it, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether I'm miserable, whatever my life brings, you must keep going. You must endure. And he even helps you do that, which is an amazing thing. You see, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. When will we understand we cannot please God in the flesh? When will we stop working for God? When will we get out of the way and allow God to have His way in our lives? You see, sometimes I have good excuses of why I act the way I act. Had a hard day at work or a hard week at work. Life's not going great. I hit a brick every time I turn a corner. Does that give me the right to lash out at somebody or act bad? Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, you just had a bad time. Well, try taking that to God. God's not big on excuses. Of what I learned over my years is that He's really not that kind of a person or father that, oh, I know you're having a rough day. It's okay that you did that. It's okay that you burned those buildings down. It's okay that you beat up those innocent people because you're mad about something. Oh my goodness, it's okay. You got to work it out. It's not what God says. God says, I expect you to act in holiness and not repay evil for evil, but evil with good. Wow. And we'll stop here. I know it's time for me to quit because we must quit at 12 o'clock or everybody gets mad at me and they're going to cut my pay and they're going to get a new preacher because this one talks too long. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. I want you to think about that this week. He who knew no sin became sin on my behalf, on your behalf, that we might have the righteousness of God. And He considered it joy. Jesus Christ considered it joy.